It's a Wednesday. Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Yes, everybody, welcome to our new series. This is Workshop Wednesdays.
I don't like calling it a series. Installation, maybe? Series feels wrong.
Oh, I guess it's like a sub-series. That's how I've interpreted it.
Yeah, but a series has a definitive end.
Oh, I don't know. If this works out well enough, I hope it doesn't end. This gives us, I would say, more staying power. Because even if there are no conventions, like, in our, like, immediate future, then we could just talk about, you know, questions that people have.
Ryan, we're going to a convention in, like, 2 weeks.
Oh, I know. We'll still put up our normal episode when we talk about the prep for it.
I guess we're doing some prep, but most of it's just, like, monetary prep.
Yeah, unfortunate. But this is the state of conventions in 2025, to be honest.
I guess. Anyway, welcome to Workshop Wednesdays, a mini episode of Cosplay Con Crunch. It's been a minute, y'all. We're trying to still get out our main episodes. We have like a backlog of audio from interviews and crossover episodes and things we kind of need to get out. But that's not the focus of today.
No, when we were at Kineticon, had a bit of an interactive experience. We basically asked people, what have you found to be some of the most challenging parts about making cosplay?
Ryan, I kind of want you to explain what you envisioned for this versus what people are actually doing.
Yeah.
Because I think what you envisioned was never going to be a thing.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now. I'm open to the idea. Maybe I'll put a poll up for this episode to see what people feel.
Mm-hmm.
So originally, my question was more broad. My question was, tell me about a cosplay that you've had trouble working on.
You very specifically said, like, a cosplay. I think what you envisioned was a whole cosplay.
I was hoping that people would respond with, like, I've just had trouble making Link from The Wind Waker. We would go through the different parts of, like, a build to do Link from The Wind Waker. I don't think this is a bad thing. This makes it so that we can be, like, kind of multidisciplinary. Instead, we got more of a... This is an aspect about building cosplays.
Or a single aspect of a cosplay. Because props to the cosplay community, most people are pretty inventive. But there's always like that one prop, one article of clothing, one accessory that fucks people up. And that's become the real struggle.
Right. Like one of the questions that we got was the egghead boots and how to make them comfortable.
And don't worry, Grubby Pirate, we are going to do that next time. So tune in 2 Wednesdays.
Two Wednesdays later. I wanna make it Wednesday, but like that don't work. So today we're talking about something that is a little bit more MJ centric, but
I wish there was a camera in here so everyone could have seen my sweet little face that I made.
It was sweet.
You don't look at me.
They don't need to know that.
Everyone knows that. I commented on at least one episode. Or at least once an episode.
It's a shame that you're editing this one.
I know. So this all stays in.
Today we're talking about pattern making and pattern editing.
Yes, so at Kineticon, I got 2 questions thrown into our little questionnaire box. This is a weird thing that I was thinking of because the boys on Eric Hates just did a mailbag. We have an email that people can email.
Oh, this is true, yeah.
If anyone has any requests or comments or concerns for a Workshop Wednesday, go ahead and email at us at cosplayconcrunch@gmail.com.
Yeah, all one word.
All one word, all lowercase. No hyphens or spaces or anything. Just cosplayconcrunch@gmail.com.
Leave that for the hosts.
So, I unfortunately don't have anyone. They didn't write their names. And I'm really sad about this because I'd like to shout them out.
Yeah, we wanted to shout them out. Yeah.
I have a couple other ones that have names on them. But I got 2 questions. One of which is, in all caps, how do you actually read a pattern?
Oh, okay. That's a good place to start, I think. So, now set up the problem.
The problem is... Fashion patterns are dumb, and fashion patterns require a lot of pre-existing knowledge to know in order to read them. And I say this coming from a multi-generational sewing family. I don't think my mom knows how to properly read a pattern.
She probably doesn't use them very often.
No, she does, to cut things out and for measurements. And that's about where they end. When you open a pattern, you're going to have like a bunch of pieces of rice paper, and that's your actual pattern pieces. Set that aside for the moment. What you're going to be reading off of is a kind of like brownish parchment paper, and that's going to not only have all of the finished products, what they look like in the top left corner on page one, but it's also going to have what pieces are what and what versions of things need which pieces. And often in patterns, you'll have multiple versions of, like, say you have a jacket pattern, like multiple articles that can be made out of that pattern. And normally, like, there's a change in the collar, there's a change in the length, there's a change in the closure. Those are the three, like, big ways that mainstream fashion patterns will edit them. And honestly, dear, you're a pretty good listener insert, because do you know how to read a pattern?
Not really, because mm-hmm. there were definitely times when you asked me to cut things out, and while I was doing that, like, I cut them in, like, a place that was supposed to be, I think it was supposed to be folded,
mm-hmm.
right? And so then the way that it was supposed to be cut was that it was half of, like, a longer thing.
Yeah.
But I cut it in half directly. I needed to cut, like, another thing. I don't know. I think I just had to make a new thing altogether.
I had to make a new thing with a different fabric because it was kind of almost impossible to save.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't know when to do that versus not. Like, is that, like, a consistent thing that they tell you to do?
Yes. So when you open up your pattern pieces, there are going to be different line instructions on each side. So say the pattern that I'm holding right now, if anyone would like to follow along at home, is Simplicity Pattern 8299 from, give me one second and I'll tell you the year it was created. It was originally marketed in fall 1998. So it was originally made for the fall release of Simplicity's 1998. It's a series of jackets with different closures, styles, collars, and lengths. It kind of has all three different things that I was talking about earlier.
Are they always in American units, or are they sometimes?
That's a great question. Not always.
So what about this Canadian one?
So, number one, all fabric is measured in yards, no matter where you are in the world.
Okay.
If you look on the back of your pattern packet, you will see a chart. And this chart tells you, depending on what size you are, how many yards of fabric you need, and what type of fabric they recommend.
Do you think that that's like, do you think they account for a little bit of mistakage, or no? Or should you?
You should always account for extra room for mistake. Some patterns do have a built-in seam allowance.
Oh, okay.
When you are cutting out the fabric. Now, the pattern, the amount of fabric listed does account for seam allowance, and it even tells you.
Oh, okay.
The difference is not all of the pattern pieces themselves do. So when you cut out your size of the pattern, it is always good to check to see. It will say in the instructions whether or not there is a seam allowance added or not. If it doesn't say, that means it's not already added.
Ooh, okay.
This is very important because as you're sewing, you're taking away fabric. The big thing to remember is never look at the actual sizes. Look at the measurements, because these are fashion patterns, which means that the standard of measurements isn't like going to the store and getting clothes. Because here in the US, I have in my closet right now a size 4 jeans and a size 12 jeans that I wear. Always important before you like start buying fabric and cutting things out and picking out what size you are, double check your own measurements. Ryan knows this. I make him stand there and let me measure him frequently.
Yeah, but you've also got like a feel for adding a little bit here or there. You figured out how to take measures of people quickly.
I have, mostly because most people don't like being measured.
That's a very intimate experience. This is a weird one. It's a very intimate experience I never recommend. It's strange, man.
We have multiple experiences in the ODM gear when I was putting it together for everyone of multiple people being like, MJ, I don't think your husband is this intimate with you. And Ryan's response from the couch was, no, even that made me uncomfortable.
It did make me uncomfortable. It was a little too much. Like, you were like all the way in my personal space. I mean, you have to do it. Okay, so
back to patterns.
Yeah, another question like related to the how-to mm-hmm. sort of part of it. How do you know what material to make?
Wonderful question. On the back, one, it will tell you what it is. If you are looking at the back of the pattern, it will tell you what you are making and specifically what is it going to come out to. For example, in this pattern, the oversized jacket, it comes in three lengths, has a front button, long sleeve, a B collar, A has an optional top stitch. I'll get into that later. B has patch pockets and blanket stitch details. C and D have a band collar. So it tells you the difference between each individual version of this pattern. Tracking?
Makes enough sense, yeah.
Directly below that, it will tell you the recommended fabrics. It'll say fabrics. Again, these are only recommendations based on how the pattern is sewn together. Have I fully ignored the recommended fabrics before? Yes. Absolutely.
Like, yeah, I mean, what is, like, would you say, like, a fabric that is very niche that you wouldn't use for, you wouldn't try to, like, sub in? I'd say leather, probably, right?
True leather is a hard one. That's always a big one. If a pattern is built for a stretch fabric, use a stretch fabric. I'm going to be making Samus's Zero suit. When I make that bodysuit pattern, it is going to be designed with probably like a spandex or scuba in mind. I would be idiotic to try and use a cotton.
Yeah.
Because okay. That means the pattern itself is incorporating the fact that there will be four-way stretch in the fabric.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare for me. Like, just, like, in general, like, the idea that this fabric is stretchy, mm-hmm. I feel like would make it hard to nail that fabric down.
Use washable interfacing.
Washable interfacing.
To give it extra stability while you're sewing, and then all you have to do is throw it in the washing machine and you're done.
You're kidding. Have you used that before?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I feel like I've never seen it.
That's because you never really watched me sew. I used it for Zoro's suit.
Oh, no kidding.
For example, this one recommends non-raveling fabrics. So, raveling fabrics are fabrics that if you cut them, you can then just pull the threads. Think your basic cotton. Most woven fabrics are. So an example for this is a fleece, a double fleece, or a plaid. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And then below that is the notions. Notions are anything needed for a sewing project that isn't fabric. Needles, thread, buttons, lace, interfacing, those are all notions.
Oh, so this is like, they're like the materials that are necessary for the project that aren't the fabric itself.
Exactly.
So it's like when you buy furniture from IKEA and it's like, you need a drill and a Phillips 2 and you need a this and a that. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's notions.
That didn't come in the box.
No. So, for example, you need thread, 4 3/4 inch buttons, a pack of straight seam binding, and 1/2 inch mold shoulder pads, optional. Because, again, it was 1998. It will have broken down by size what your body measurement should be, and that'll correlate to what size you need to cut out. And then below each size, it will tell you, for jacket A, if you're a medium, you need 3 yards of your main fabric. You then need 1.5 yards of the interfacing. For jacket B, though, for a medium, you only need 2.25 yards.
And those are just different options for jackets.
Yes. So gotcha. The pattern will always come with multiple different things that you can make out of it if you are buying a traditional fashion pattern. Online cosplay patterns tend to only have one option because you are buying that specific cosplay pattern.
Here's another question mm-hmm. that I've been now thinking about. So I know that with these patterns from 98 and like the other patterns that you have in your collection, they're printed on like a type of paper. Rice paper. Okay. And they're all like one piece.
Yeah, or multiple sheets. Yeah.
Or multiple sheets. Yeah. How have you gone about putting together multiple pieces to make online patterns?
If you are printing out a pattern on non-large paper, because these are all made to be printed on like kind of like I think it's like 48 inch width.
Yeah, because that's like fabric.
Yeah, if you are printing it out by yourself and doing it by yourself the way that I often have, the number one thing I can suggest to anyone trying to put together those patterns is find a large window.
Or a screen door.
Or a screen door, as I have done multiple times. Tape the first layer across the top of the window or glass door, not screen door.
Yeah, oh, right, yeah, not an actual screen.
And use the sun to help you line up. On online patterns, normally in the explanation, they will tell you A, how to print it out properly, and B, how to line up the patterns. For example, a lot of mood fabrics patterns have little X's in the corner that you line up and match perfectly with the one on the page before it, below it, and beside it.
And then once you have the pattern all set up,
it's all cut out.
It's all cut out. You then
turn back to your general directions. Because here's the thing that I think is important. You looked at me and said you didn't know that you were supposed to cut it on a fold. And then I pointed to a random line. And I said, that told you you were supposed to. There will always be a general directions, whether it is online or a physical pattern that you bought at a craft store. And it will have a breakdown of the pattern. And it will have a symbol guide. Most of these symbols are always easy. The first thing you're going to have to know is the grain line of your fabric. On each pattern piece, it'll have a line with two arrows on either end pointing out. That tells you that that line is supposed to be parallel with the grain line. The grain line is the direction of fibers the fabric goes. Straight grain is parallel with the selvaged edge. Cross grain is perpendicular with the selvage edge. Bias grain is diagonal.
How can it be straight versus perpendicular? I feel like it's all fabric, no?
No. So when you are weaving fabric together, because remember, fabric is just a bunch of threads woven together.
Yeah.
The direction in which you weave that fabric changes. The selvage edges are the two edges on the width of the fabric.
Gotcha.
The other thing that I will tell you is if you are doing a stretch fabric, it will tell you direction you are supposed to cut with the stretch of. So if you're cutting a thigh piece, you want the stretch to go side to side rather than up and down, because you don't need your pant leg to be longer. You need it to stretch wider.
I didn't even think about that. It's crazy to think that the stretch would only be in one direction.
Well, there is like omnidirectional stretch fabrics.
I thought that they all were.
No.
Wow.
But think about your scuba suit, dear. It only stretches in like the sideways. It doesn't stretch up and down that much.
No, I never thought about that. I figured it did.
Like a little bit, but that's about the amount that all fabric stretches.
Wow, this is incredible. That makes it feel like it's actually like a almost an organic type of material.
The next thing is it'll be kind of like a three-sided rectangle with two arrows facing one direction. So you'll have a line and then two bars connected to it, and connected to those two bars are arrows. That tells you that you're supposed to cut along the fold. That side of the pattern is supposed to be on a folded edge. There will be a dash and dot line sometimes in the middle of a pattern, either going vertically or horizontally. That is the center of the fabric of the pattern.
I see.
So, kind of moving into a follow-up question, which is, how important is it to follow a pattern? And is that really important? No, because patterns are made with a very specific body type in mind. Now, that body type may change from pattern to pattern, but every pattern does have a body type in mind.
Interesting.
And you aren't always that body type.
I feel like people are so different. You probably rarely are.
Yeah. For example, when I was getting judged at KinetiCon, I told them that I had to edit a Yaya Han pattern. And one of the judges went, love Yaya, she's great. All of her patterns are only designed for her body. So
she's famous though, right?
She is famous, yeah. And she's done stunning work, and she makes really good, easy to read patterns. But the pattern is designed for her body. And the other thing that it'll tell you is whether or not a solid line is a cut line. That just means that's the line you cut along. That's the edge of the pattern. Last thing that I'm going to touch on here is there will be two parallel lines, and that's where you're supposed to shorten or lengthen the pattern. So basically, you cut along that line to either remove space or add space. So if you're like me and you got an itty bitty tiny torso, I'd have to take out a lot of space. And I often have to add space for my legs.
Yeah, I think that covers, I guess, basic modifications. But you've also added, for example, like collars and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I've made collars more dramatic on things.
Yeah, like flare.
And so what you do with that is you take the original collar pattern, so that way, because it has the perfect width of the collar.
Okay.
It has the size of the collar, and then you just modify from there.
Ah, that's fun. Okay, I see.
So for example, for Mihawk, I had to make that collar up at the top way more flamboyant.
Yeah, it came out much more.
Because it's Mihawk.
What was the
base? She's a bit fruity. Was it a tiny collar?
No, I mean, like, what was the base, like, pattern for?
Oh, it was for a trench jacket.
Oh, okay.
And I just cut up the... I shortened the front because he has, like, that weird little vesty part.
Yeah.
And I changed out the collar. And so I took the collar piece they gave me. I traced the bottom, which is, like, the arch part, the part that gets sewn onto the, like, neck of the jacket. And then I just drew what I wanted for the rest of it.
Oh, nice. That mm-hmm. comes with experience, it sounds yes. like.
And so to get back to how do you actually read patterns? When you get into the nitty-gritty of the pattern, the next page will tell you the most logical layout for cutting. If you are following the pattern exactly to the T, and you got the exact amount of fabric that it tells you to, their ideal is lay out all the pattern pieces on the fabric at the same time and then cut them out. And it'll break down what is most logical to cut out where.
You pin them to the fabric.
Yes, you do have to pin them. Or you use rocks. Use rocks as fabric weights.
You've used
fabric weights are incredibly expensive. Rocks are free.
I want to say that I understand why somebody with more experience likes it. When MJ gave me those pattern weights,
mm-hmm.
I really hated cutting using them. It felt so much less precise.
When you're looking at it, is what they're showing as the right side of the fabric, which is the side that is shown to the world, the wrong side of the fabric, which is the side that is pressed to your body, or if there's a lining, the side that is pressed to the other fabric. It's where the seams show. To get into the actual reading of the pattern, there's going to be a lot of words that kind of mean nothing to you. Because, honestly, my mom even says they still mean nothing to her.
If you could choose to ignore it, then that's cool.
Yes. The main thing to know is what side is right side out, what side is wrong side out, and try and follow which seam is being sewed first. It's going to show you kind of rapidly. It's going to show you, like, where lines should be, and darts, and it's gonna have the weird cutouts of the different lines and the different fabrics. The main thing with those cutout lines where it's like you'll have random triangles and divots, that's just showing you like where to match things up. Like if you're using foam, you often like mark lines across the foam to indicate where it's supposed to match up with the next piece. If there are more questions about reading specific patterns and specific brands, that gets a bit more nitty gritty. A thing that I think everyone should check out, no matter how confused or experienced they are, honestly, it's a thing that I still watch in my free time sometimes, is a show called Fit to Stitch. It's from PBS. It ran for like 16 seasons. Every episode, the woman goes over not only how the pattern is read and made, but also how to edit it to a different body type. Wow. If you're short, if you're tall, if you're wider, if you're thinner, if you got big boobs, if you got no boobs, if you're taking a pattern for a guy and turning it into one for a woman, if you're taking a woman's pattern and turning it into one for a guy, if you're scaling up a child's pattern, genuinely a gift. It is Fit, F-I-T, the number 2, Stitch. To truly get into the nitty gritty, is following a pattern really that important? No. There are multiple ways to start an equation and get the number 4. Patterns are one equation. Doesn't always mean they're the easiest equation. It doesn't mean they're always the equation you understand best. There are multiple times where I have started using a pattern and stopped halfway through because the look I was going for wasn't involved. Or because I just felt like they made it needlessly complicated.
Yeah, I've definitely been on the receiving end of that. You ran out and you said, can you believe that they made it this way instead of this way? Why would they do that? And I said, aha, I don't know.
Like, for example, the outfit that Ryan loves the most, Arceus.
I do love that outfit.
I hate how those pockets are made. If I had more foresight, I would have made a different pocket style because I disliked how they made the pockets. Also, those pockets are egregiously huge.
They're really big. Yeah, that's fun. It was great. I had fun.
He's not mentioning the fact that he, like, threw a fit over the cosplay from the day before. over not having pockets.
Yeah, it was just like, I just needed a way today.
But that's my big thing. Is following the pattern really that important? No. Not always.
But I think especially for people who are new to it, it can be helpful to follow a couple of patterns.
Yeah, but understand, patterns were not made for you to follow. They were made for someone who makes patterns to follow.
Yeah, so the thing that I wanted to talk about was that on the reverse end of this spectrum, MJ was talking about taking fabric and making it into full, complete cosplays and costumes and whatnot. Being the person who makes most of our props, a lot of the time I don't really interact with the 2D to 3D. I usually just am in the 3D and then I stay there. However, with the egghead boots and some of like the other props that I want to end up making, it is important to have an understanding of how to work with foam patterns or how to work with other patterns in general. There are some websites that you can use. There was this website called Template Maker. Template Maker made it so that I could take those egghead boots and then make them from what they call a truncated cone, which is just a cone that instead of it being to a tip, like a little pointed triangular tip, big circle at the bottom to a small circle at the top. And then I warped that into like an oval, and then I made the egghead boots out of that. I'll definitely talk about it because I wanted to talk about it more during that craftsmanship competition. Being faced with a competition, it's hard to remember everything you did.
Check out our KennedyCon episode to understand how to prep for those properly.
You can use this Template Maker website to make basic geometric shapes. However, I found a tool recently that was actually even more impressive. You can take a 3D model and then feed it into this program, and then from that program generate a folding foam or cardboard or paper prop.
Really?
So it 2Difies a 3D object.
That's interesting. What's that website called?
It's an app. There's a free and a paid version. The free version, it has all of the same features as the paid. The paid version allows you to save them and then like re-edit them later. So if you know what you want to do, if you have like a solid like STL file, I, for example, took the blade of the Master Sword and I fed it into this program called Pepa Cura, which is P-E-P-A-K-U-R-A.
Oh, I would have misspelled that.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. And so,
but MJ doesn't know how to spell.
You take a STL, an object, or big 3D file types. You shoot it into this program, and it takes it and it unfolds them into a 2D sort of sheet. And then you can scale that sheet up and then print it out. You can then put it into different pieces, and then you can cut a piece of foam to it.
The thing that I'm thinking is, like, you know when you get taught as a kid how to make like a box?
Yeah.
And you get like the T shape?
Yes, yes.
Is that what that
is? That is exactly what this is.
Okay, that's cool.
It is really cool, and it could be a very powerful resource. For example, if you don't have a 3D printer, but you know that you are good and like you can make things out of foam, this program could really do that for you.
Yeah, it's showing you like what the different dimensions of what each side would need to be. And it breaks down all the individual details.
Yeah, all of the details that you would like fold in on themselves. So definitely check out Pepa Cura. If you have experience looking at 3D files and you were like, I know I could make this out of foam, I don't really know how. Wow. You can. Just know that now you can. So
that's impressive.
I really do like that something like that just is out there and exists. I just started fiddling with this program a couple days ago. I think that covers pattern making and pattern editing. So I would say that this was a...
The other thing that you meant that we were going to talk about, that you were going to mention, was how to know how to scale. So for example, the initial Achilles spear was far too large for my itty bitty feminine body. Or, for example, Yoru was too big.
Yoru was too big. When I made it the first time, I had the big version already. And then I was like, this is far too big. And then I just, like, took a measurement. What's the measurement that I want? What's the measurement I have? And then I just adjusted based on, like, the percent difference.
Okay, so that's the formula that you just have to use?
Yeah, I just use, like, one of those, like, X is what you want, Y is what you have, equals like the percent like that mm-hmm. you have. So you just like, you find that ratio, you feed it into like whatever program that you're using to print, and then you could just kind of like scale it down by that much.
Okay.
And I think that sometimes if it's a good program, it'll tell you like the max dimensions of a thing that you're printing, But remember, a lot of the times, if you're printing something, it's going to be in multiple pieces. So, you know, it only tells you so much. If I'm looking at, like, half of a spear tip, like, that doesn't mean everything. This has been Workshop Wednesday, at least the first episode. I hope that you guys enjoyed. I hope you learned something. We'll put up a poll and see what people are feeling about how we want to conduct this in the future, and then see, and we'll put out another poll on our Instagram for people to vote and see what our next topic will be.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening to Cosplay Con Crunch. You can follow us on Instagram at cosplay_concrunch, or you can follow myself, MJ, at cosplay_cajun on both TikTok and Instagram. You can follow Ryan at rightjoyconrye on Instagram.
I don't even get to say it anymore.
No, you don't. You know what? The boys don't do a little outro on their special episodes, so I'm not going to either. Have a great one.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Derek, I got a question.
What's up?
You know, I was thinking about it recently because we got a new car.
Oh.
We did get a new car. I love our new car. It's not falling apart like the Jeep.
Hey, man. You know what you need to do?
Mm-hmm.
Hit the next song, freaking wood, brother. Hit that wood. Hit that wood.
We have our new car. That meant that we got new car keys. Okay. That meant I had to look at my plethora of keychains in all of their glory. Yeah. And I had a thought, as but a man, Ryan.
Oh, Jesus.
If you were going to get smacked with one of my keychain themes, what would be the most embarrassing?
Can you tell me what your current keychain themes are?
Yeah, so you have video games.
Uh-huh.
You got classic anime, so like One Piece, Inuyasha, Dragon Ball. You got new wave anime, you got your Demon Slayer, you got that. You got the gay boy animes, your Skate, your Given, your Haikyuu, a couple other ones. Oh, Sasuke and Mineo, you know.
So not that one. I don't want to get hit with that one because that is, I think, the biggest one.
No, the biggest one is the Zoro and Sanji. There's gay, and then there's just Zoro and Sanji.
Because the gay is implied.
No, it's because there wasn't enough room on the gay for the Zoro and Sanji.
No, I think so. The gay is implied.
Well, the gay is not implied. It's very apparent. They kiss like four times.
The gay is written into
Oh, it is not subtle.
What was the first one?
Video games.
I'll take the video game.
That's the most embarrassing?
No. Oh, are you asking what's the most embarrassing to get hit by if I was like, you know,
if you were fuck up with me on the street and I just had one of my keychains?
Oh, the most embarrassing to get hit by is probably, you could cope if you got hit by the Zoro and Sanji one.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, oh, those are cool anime guys I got hit by, whatever. But if you got hit by
just the BL.
Mineo?
Mineo?
If you got hit by fucking Mineo, you'll never recover. You don't even know what that is. You can look at him and you'd be like,
there's one with Sanji that's got a bell on him. He's like a thirsty little cat.
Yeah, but he's got a bell. But that's not the only keychain on there. There's also cool ones on there.
That one is cool.
I'm sleeping on the couch.